the Twins. Nelson Cruz hit a couple of dingers the other day, and they knocked off the Royals 4-1. Minnesota right now 15-8 overall. They've won a couple of straight. And meantime, the Bucks, or I should say the Brewers, at least for the time being, seems to have gotten their mojo back when it comes to the offense. Joining us now to give us a lowdown on the Twins in the Twin City from the Score North, our buddy Phil Mackey is with us. Phil, how you been?
Bill, I'm doing all right. I was hoping that you'd want to talk Timberwolves, but I guess I have to throw my notes away. Dang it.
Not this time around, but you've got something to talk about in regards to the Twins. Now, tell me this. What's the bigger story there right now, the Vikings getting back in the practice field or the Twins and their fast start to this COVID-shortened season?
It's probably just because it's hard to gauge because, you know, there's, you know, we're all watching from home and we can't actually go to Target Field. It's probably pretty equal. Although I think there's a sense that the Vikings are going into a transition season with a bunch of question marks on defense and offensive line. So it's conflicting because this is maybe the best Twins team in 10 or 15 years. The 2006 Twins with MVP Justin Morneau and batting champion Joe Mauer, Johan Santana, Francisco Liriano before the surgery. That was a really good Twins team. This is probably the best Twins team since then. But it's sort of an odd feeling in that if they go ahead and they you know, let's say they were to make a run and win the World Series, is there an asterisk? And I've always told people, listen, like, obviously a 60-game season is not the same as 162, but once you're in, are you really going to be sitting there on, like, October 28th, Game 6 of the World Series, if your team gets that far thinking, well, this is great, but it just feels kind of cheap now that they're one out away from winning it all. I think it'll be cost to celebrate, but the Twins are off to an awesome start, and their offense is still pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I was going to say they're off to a very hot start. Their offense, we obviously saw it firsthand just last week when they were at Miller Park, still pounding out runs. What is it as far as playing at home? Because at Miller Park, we know it can be a bandbox, but at home, are they still as prolific? Are they still as powerful? Are they still hitting the same amount of home runs?
Yeah, I'd have to go look and see. For this season, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you that there are a lot more home runs being hit at Target Field now than there were 10 years ago. If you remember when that ballpark was built in 2010, and Joe Mauer was coming off the 2009 MVP award season, in which he probably hit, of his 29 home runs at the Metrodome, or during the last season at the Metrodome, 2009, I want to say like 15 of them wound up in the front row of the left field seats. And he hit those same fly balls at Target Field, and they were 10 feet in front of the warning track for outs. And they talked a lot about, well, wait until the concrete settles inside that stadium. Once the concrete settles, and it became kind of a running joke, like, oh, well, when's the concrete going to settle? Well, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I know that it's become kind of a bandbox in its own right. And so you take a stadium that has settled in as being hitter-friendly, and then you add guys like Nelson Cruz, and when Josh Donaldson comes back from his most recent calf injury, and it's a pretty potent formula. And we were actually taping our podcast earlier today. Nelson Cruz is 40 years old, and I've been watching Twins baseball, Bill, since about 1991. I was born in the mid-80s. And I think Nelson Cruz, in his year and change with the Twins, is the greatest Twins offensive performance I have seen in my life watching this team. And that includes Kirby Puckett. It includes Justin Morneau. I'm not talking about a 10-year stretch. I'm just talking the 142 games he has played, 49 home runs and 131 runs driven in. And he's 40. There's no signs of him slowing down or having a slow bat or anything like that. It's been incredible to watch.
I wanted to ask you about the pitching more so than anything. The last time the Brewers faced him, the Brewers were stymied big time. Brewers' bats seemed to come to life down in Chicago. Talk about the pitching.
So the Twins' new front office is pretty incredible at taking guys that either had been cast aside and had been struggling, or guys that were undrafted, like Randy Dobnak has started the season as one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball, picking up where he left off last year. Nobody in Minnesota had ever heard of Randy Dobnak 15 months ago. Tyler Duffy is another guy. Here's another number for you. So Tyler Duffy was one of the worst starting pitchers in all of baseball from like 2015 through 2018. And you go look at his earned run averages. His ERA as a starter was like 6 over 4 years. He has emerged as one of the top 5 or 6 relievers in all of baseball. Tyler Duffy has appeared in 36 games as a reliever going back to the middle of July of 2019. He has allowed a run in 1 of those 36 games. A guy that was cast aside, and so this front office, Derek Falvey comes from the Cleveland pipeline of pitching development, and they've just been able to turn guys you've never heard of into top-line relievers. The problem is they don't have a number one ace-caliber starting pitcher to plop on top of all of it. Jose Berríos was supposed to maybe turn into that. He's off to another bad start. And Rich Hill has been excellent when he's healthy over the last 5 years, but the when he's healthy part has been the problem for the Twins this year. So if they could somehow find a way to develop or trade for or sign a guy to put at the top of that rotation, it would complete the puzzle.
By the way, we're talking with Phil Mackey from Score North in the Twin Cities tonight. You've got the Brewers at Target Field opening up a 3-game set there. You know, the one guy that's getting overshadowed, Jorge Polanco, is having a hell of a season. It's just that Nelson Cruz has been just off to this incredibly fiery start this year. We're not talking about Polanco at all. I mean, you know, this is a team that's been hitting the ball pretty much top to bottom. You've got a lot of guys that are 220 or better. Well, the Brewers, they started out of the chutes almost falling on their face. Even Christian Yelich for a while hitting 081, finally got that thing up over 200. So when you look at it, the fast start, the offense, as good as the pitching has been, the offense has carried them. But a guy like Jorge Polanco is just not getting much play for the fact that Nelson Cruz is off to the fast start.
I actually think Polanco is one of the most, and this is going to be a homer take because obviously I follow this team closely, but I think Jorge Polanco is one of the most underrated players in all of baseball. His defense has gotten better at shortstop, and in an era where guys strike out 150 to 200 plus times a year, even some of the best hitters, the Twins have two guys in Jorge Polanco and Luis Arraez, the middle infield. They just don't strike out. And I think you're almost seeing, you know, you see trends and you see these sweeping trends and fads in baseball. And I think you can put a premium on guys who can put the ball in play now. It's just become such a rarity. If you're able to make contact, you know, if you take two different hitters and one of them strikes out 200 times in a year and the other one strikes out even 75 times, well, that's 125 extra chances to put a ball in play, get on base, move the chains. And the Twins' middle infield between Luis Arraez and Jorge Polanco just does an excellent job under the radar of keeping the chains moving, so to speak.
Well, they're off to a fast start, and as the season goes on, we'll touch base again. And also, once the men in purple get back at it and we start talking football, we'll be chatting with you again as well. Phil, pleasure as always, pal. Appreciate it.
And once Aaron Rodgers becomes the Vikings quarterback in 2022, we can talk about that next time.
Hey, how much do you think they're going to miss Everson Griffin, by the way?
I would say a lot. I think, you know, Danielle Hunter is incredible, and he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, but this is probably the first time, Bill, in like 15 years, the Vikings haven't had at least two really good established defensive linemen. COVID sort of hit them in the middle of the defensive line, and that Michael Pierce, the free agent they signed from the Ravens, was supposed to come in and fill the gap that Linval Joseph left. But they only have one established, credible, tenured defensive lineman right now. He's one of the best in the NFL, but it's going to be a problem for them in 2020.
Good stuff. We will chat again later, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Phil. Talk to you soon. There you go. Score North from the Twin Cities, our buddy Phil Mackey. You can find him at Phil Mackey on Twitter, at Phil Mackey on Twitter, and gives us some good stuff on the Twins and a little snippet there as to what life is like right now behind the walls over there in Minneapolis and the Purple People Eater, so to speak. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.